I'm Emma Blesnack here interviewing Sophia Ashu, who is a senior SCOM major at James Madison University and a bookstore aficionado, as well as an avid reader. So, Sophie, would you want to tell me a little bit about your favorite bookstore, just where it's located, why you love it, maybe your favorite book that you've bought there?
Yes. So my favorite bookstore is called The Lantern, and it's in Washington, D.C., in Georgetown. Like, it's off a little side street on M Street. And it's actually a bookstore that raises money for a scholarship fund for minority students trying to go to college. And I love the bookstore because it is just a collection of donated books. People donate whatever they want. They have books in there from Twilight to old antique French novels. It really varies, and there's so much to look at. And the books, you know, the books range in price from $2 to $75+. So it's a very interesting and fun place to, you know, just read about books and then also just kind of spend time, read about books. That doesn't really make sense. Look at books and just spend time there. It's a really nice atmosphere.
Great. And so do you have a favorite book that you've bought there, or just a favorite book you want to talk about in general?
Yeah. So the most recent book that I just bought there, which I'm really excited about, is I think it's a 1962 or 64 copy of Gone with the Wind. And that's not even that old, but you can just tell by looking at it that it's from the 60s, just because by nature of the cover art and everything. But it's such a thick book, obviously, because Gone with the Wind is so long. But I just really like, it has the thin pages, and it's just a really nice copy of the book.
Great. I love Gone with the Wind. Oh my gosh, I have to check this book out. Okay, so other than Gone with the Wind, which obviously you're a fan of, is there like a certain book that you feel like got you started reading, or any instance in your childhood? I know you've been an avid reader for quite some time. So anything that you feel like led you to such a passion with reading that you went to check out The Lantern, which I know was kind of like underground and maybe something you would have gone to find otherwise?
My whole family really likes to read. We all like to read. My mother and I think are the biggest readers. My dad always says that we go through books like most people go through magazines. I've been reading for as long as I can remember knowing how to read, and my mom really encouraged it. She was always, you know, she wasn't big on buying us material things. She'd rather give us experiences, but she'd never say no to a book that we wanted to buy. And some of our favorite, you know, just trips on Saturdays or whatever would be to Barnes & Noble or some bookstore. So I have very fond memories in my childhood of going to bookstores and reading in general. You know, I had the Harry Potter series. I loved the Boxcar Children. I was really into series in general. I still am. I'm trying to think of what was your other question? Oh, right. And so I found The Lantern because my sister and my dad were actually going through D.C. because my sister goes to school in D.C. and she found this bookstore and showed it to me. And she knows how fond I am of bookstores and just their environment in general and how excited I get when I find a new one. So she showed me that one. And every time, I was just in D.C. a couple of days ago, and I went in, and, you know, it's fun because every time you go there, it's a brand new set of books and you just have no idea what to expect. And it's really cool to go through them.
Great. I'll have to check it out. So other than like your love of bookstores, and obviously I'm sure like libraries when you were younger, I know libraries don't really have books anymore, which is unfortunate. How do you feel that your interest in reading has led to like your future career? I know personally that with the bookstore, where did you say again that the proceeds, some of them go to?
The scholarship fund.
Okay, so scholarship funds. And I know that sort of has to do with like an internship you've had and like your desire to like help other kids and something you want that to be propelled in your future career. So is there anything you could sort of relate from like your love of books and your love of bookstores to what you plan to do once you leave JMU?
Yes. So I'm really passionate about education and reading in general. Reading was such a big part of my life and still is. I'm constantly reading a book. I can't leave the house without a Kindle. And I am also kind of sad that I have a Kindle, but it's out of necessity that I have one because I read so much. There's no way I could keep hard covers of all the books that I've read, but I really am interested in promoting education, particularly in developing countries. I had volunteered in Jamaica for an alternative spring break and helped children read their high school age, and they, you know, some of them are at a fourth grade reading level still, and to be able to help them read and kind of share my passion and see that light up in their eyes was a really powerful thing. And so I'm hoping to be able to kind of continue that in any way that I can, even if my first job when I graduate is not, you know, teaching reading or whatever it is. Just, you know, finding a way to volunteer in some capacity, in order to help children read would be a very meaningful thing for me. Kind of promote my own love of books.
That's excellent to hear. Do you think you would ever write a book?
I would love to write a book. I've always wanted to write when I was younger. I always wanted to be an author when I was younger. And I used to write, you know, short stories of my own. And I would enter into writing contests when I was younger. And I kind of rediscovered that passion as I finally, you know, started reading more and more as I get older and being able to read faster and everything. And it really, you know, I think everyone that reads wants to write, or a lot of people do, at least in my experience. And I think that it's kind of an irresistible thing to be able to come up with your own story and create your own world. So that's definitely something I would like to do, but as a hobby, not for a job.
Good to hear. I know I personally had that same experience. I grew up wanting to be an author, and then I had very short attention span, so I moved on to journalism. So at the Lantern, do you know, like, anything about the people that work there? It's okay if not. I mean, is there anything you want to share about their employees or their owner?
Yeah, every employee there, well, I don't guess you wouldn't call them employees because they're volunteers. They're usually older people. Every time I've gone in there, the little cashier, everything, you know, all the logs and everything are by hand. It's all cash. And they're just there by virtue of their own good nature. And they are just pleasant little old people that are, you know, just so happy for you when you find a good book, you know. And they're like, oh, I haven't seen this one come through yet. That's a good one. And they're just really, they're there to just because they want to, you know, help the fund. And then also just be there to see what books people pick up. I'm sure it's very interesting. So
I know personally from my experience with you in bookstores we've been into, seeing how many books you can pull off a rack and know the summary of, and how much advice you can give me on different books I would be interested in. I just wonder where all that information can be stored, because sometimes I can't remember what I had for lunch. So that's so interesting to see. I'm sure the people who work there are very similar, that they can just see any book you pull out and have something to comment on about it.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, as far as the, I think I read this summer, I read 40 books. And, you know, they're not long, drawn out English classic literature. They're, you know, they can be short books, whatever. But I just find that if I'm not constantly reading, then I'm very restless. And, you know, sometimes someone will recommend a book to me, and then I'll start reading it, and then I'll realize that I've already read it. And it's just so it definitely, books definitely fall through the cracks, but you have a hard time forgetting your favorites.
That's great. Now, so also, as I said before, I've been in bookstores with you. I had the pleasure of studying abroad with you in London, and I know we've been to bookstores in Oxford, in Italy. We have been bookstore travelers. So is there any comment you have on some of those bookstores or some of the ones we went to abroad and your interest in those, as well as, I know you said, you know, French literature really interests you, and they had some of that in the Lantern. So any comment you have on literature from other countries or bookstores in other countries as well?
Yeah, so the Lantern's great because it definitely brings together, you know, all different books from all different cultures, which I think is really fascinating. As far as the books that I, the bookstores, the thing I love about bookstores is that in our travels, we could go to any country, and if there's a bookstore, you know, you could go in there and you'd feel right at home. Mm-hmm. At least I would, because there, you know what to expect, but at the same time, there's still that element of surprise and exploration, because you know, books are different, like the publishers are different, and you know, British literature is definitely different from American literature as far as like what gets published, not even classics, but you know, modern literature. And so I find that really interesting to see what kind of books are put on display in different countries and what books are not put on display, I think is also telling. And, you know, seeing different versions of the same book. For example, the Harry Potter series was, you know, it's a different name in America. It's the Sorcerer's Stone in America. It's the Philosopher's Stone in the UK. So, you know, just seeing little things like that, I think is very interesting, kind of see how they tailor their audiences. My favorite bookstore in London, I can't remember the name, but it's like the oldest bookstore in London. I can't remember what it's called.
I
want
to say it starts with a W.
Me too.
I was going to say Weathersby, and then I realized that's like a type of candy, I think.
I meant to look it up, but
if you want to look it up real quickly, I can ask you some few other questions. But yeah, that bookstore was incredible. Just the multitude they had. And I loved the Oxford bookstore, how huge it was. And oh, they had those books, you almost bought one. It was covered up in paper. It was like the...
Oh, the yes. So there's, there was this really cool, it was like the coolest little thing I've seen in a bookstore. And they were books wrapped in brown paper. And they had the bookstore workers kind of describe one, element of the story, or give like a short, like this book is about blank, and they would, and so you'd buy it, and like each book was priced differently, and you'd buy it, and so you wouldn't know what you were buying until after. And so I thought that was an interesting concept, just kind of put your faith in the person that's describing the book and just hope that you like it. It's Hatchard's.
Why do we both think W? Okay, Hatchard's.
Hatchard's, they're booksellers since 1797. And, oh God, I love it. I'm looking at a picture right now. It's such a great bookstore. And it just kind of combines everything I love about the world into one little space. And you can tell that their employees are extremely passionate. They're not just jaded college students trying to get some money. They're people that really are interested in books and finding the right book for a person who walks in, and they're like interested about learning why you chose the books you chose, and it's just really cool.
The application process for that is probably a little bit more extensive than Barnes & Noble.
Yeah, definitely. I think they were actually all, you know, either English majors or something along those lines, or, I mean, you don't have to be an English major to have a passion for literature, but it certainly helps.
Yeah, that's incredible. I miss that store. And also, we went to some specific bookstores for classes that talked about, you know, they have specific political affiliations, or there was one that had a magic affiliation. Were you in that class?
Yes. Yeah, so I was actually really... I don't usually think of bookstores as being politically charged places. But obviously London is a city, and there is that element of politics, and they had a bookstore, Bookmarks
was what
it was called. Bookmarks,
it was the Marxist movement, yeah.
Right, it was a play off of Karl Marx's name, and it was a bookstore dedicated entirely to socialism and, or no, not, yeah, socialism.
Mm-hmm.
And,
Marxism and...
Yes.
All of that.
Where's that communism? Now I'm second-guessing myself.
I don't know. I'll edit this so that it sounds like you know what you're talking about. Say it was communism.
Karl Marx. Karl Marx is communism. Yeah.
We'll make it work.
Yeah, whatever. It was the Marxism and various other things. It was socialist. It's socialism.
It's socialism.
I was right the first time, I think. Anyway... Regardless, it was, you know, a bookstore catered completely to one political view, and it was kind of uncomfortable for me, obviously, being an American, and you are taught in school that anything other than democracy is a sin. So, and, you know, communist and socialist are dirty words in America. And so seeing, being exposed to that different sort of environment was very instructive for me. It made me definitely think about my own position and how quick I was to judge when I definitely had no right to. And so, you know, being in that environment, that was the biggest learning experience for sure that I've ever had in a bookstore. And then there's also, it's a mysticism. We went to a mysticism bookstore and that was all about magic and, you know, witchcraft, modern day witchcraft sort of things of that nature. And that was very interesting because it was another just completely foreign concept to me. And it was those people's whole lives. And so literally that bookstore had been like passed down through generations of witches. I hesitate.
Self-proclaimed.
Right. It's not what we think of when it's not the popularized version of witchcraft that we think of. It's, mysticism and things I'm not really don't know that much about, and it made me want to learn more about it. And it was, I think that's the most important thing that a bookstore can do, is make you want to learn. And not even it's just learning from another character. It doesn't even have to be real, but just learning about yourself by comparing yourself to other characters, I think, is a very interesting way that reading helps you develop yourself.
That's incredible. Yeah, absolutely. I never would have described bookstores that way, but that's awesome. So, we've talked extensively about how you feel and how bookstores have helped you. How would you like to see, and what, I guess, would you like to comment on about, we have obviously a very digital age that we are growing up in and that we're developing as readers and learners in. How would you like to see bookstores preserved, specifically now going back to the Lantern? Because, you know, that seems to be one that's very strong in its maybe ancestry or its past traditions. So how do you think we can help to preserve, and how would you like to see print literature and, you know, that as a movement and an institution kept in our current digital society?
Right. So I think that, you know, I don't think print literature will ever fully die.
That's reassuring to hear.
I mean, I was so against Kindles at first, but my mom and I were both just like, we can't keep books. Like, I could never throw out a book. I donate a book, but I could never throw out a book. And the amount of books that I've read in my life, if I kept all of them, I would have such a burden. And me being a transient college student. And so, you know, I think the Kindle and the e-readers are there and they have their own purpose, but there's still that sort of sentimentality that I don't think can be accomplished by an e-reader. I still, if I read a book on my Kindle and I really love it, I'll buy the hard copy of it, because there's just, you just can't beat that feel of the pages and all that. And I love just, you know, having a display of my favorite books and wherever I'm living, that's something that I'll always carry with me. And so I think humans themselves are too sentimental to completely get rid of print literature. I think it'll always be there. And obviously sales will go down. They have been going down, but I don't think they'd ever fully disappear. And that being said, I can be absolutely certain that children's literature is not going to disappear. There's no substitute for a mother reading her child a book in a rocking chair, the thick hardcover books. Like, that's how you'll learn to read. And I can't imagine, I would not want to live in a world where children didn't have their big hardcover books to, you know, flip through. And I don't think that I'll have to worry about that, because I think that they're definitely, you know, that the mystique of reading is definitely, there's definitely a part of the action of being in a place, but not actually being in that place because you're in a book.
I agree completely. I think it also is up to people such as yourself and, you know, myself included. I agree with everything you've just said, who need to be sure to, you know, instill those values in our children as well. Because, like, I have babysat for young kids before, and I've seen three-year-olds who use iPads and watch Netflix on it and, you know, things like that, where you need to really bring out the books and kind of not discourage the, you know, quick little articles we see online or, you know, the way news travels that way, but encourage the use of books. And I agree, you know, there's nothing like picking up that first little, like, Goodnight Moon or something, yeah, and definitely having that be the first book a child learns to read. So I want to just ask you one more question before we finish up our interview here. So going back all the way to the lantern, all the way to the beginning, where... Hold on, I have to stop this. So before we finish up our interview here, Sophie, I just wanted to ask what book you're reading now.
I actually just started a book called, I'm about 20 pages in, called The Boston Girl, and it's about a grandmother who's telling her life story growing up as a Jewish woman in the north end of Boston in the 1900s. It's telling her life story. And so far it's really interesting. I'm a historical fiction person, definitely. I love getting perspectives, you know, whether they're, you know, they have to be based on true events by nature of the genre. You know, you can't make up, you have to have some sort of framework. Mm-hmm. And so I find it fascinating to kind of get a glimpse into the way people may have lived and things that, you know, even if they didn't really happen, they could have. And that's, I think, just as instructive as a history book to actually get people's experiences. So, yeah, I'm reading The Boston Girl right now, but I don't know what genre it is. I guess it's kind of historical fiction. I'm actually not sure. I don't think it's based on a true story, but it's fun to read.
That's good to hear. Did you happen to find this book at the Lantern after your trip this weekend?
No, I actually found it at another bookstore, which I can't believe I didn't mention until just now. Oh my gosh, it's called the Green Valley Book Fair, and it's it comes around, it's in this massive warehouse. It's heaven for me. Mm-hmm. And it's near Harrisonburg. It's probably about a half hour away, but it's literally this warehouse of massive books, and they're all discounted like $5 and under. It depends. Yeah, it's...
Well, can you take me here soon?
Yeah, I will. They actually have... I just noticed they had ads on the side of the buses, but it's hundreds and thousands of books, and there's so many different titles, and they're all discounted, and they're all new. I think they're like, they're books that either went out of print or... something, I don't know, there are some like large print books which, you know, can't sell as easily, but I actually got that one there. That's another, it's just this awesome place. They have so many books, and it's I think I got 7 or 8 books for $40. It was great. But yeah, so that's where I got The Boston Girl. That's another one of my favorite, but that's not really a bookstore, it's like
book warehouse.
Exactly, which is even better.
Great. Well, we will have to visit it soon. Thank you so much, Sophie. This has been very educational for me and a lot of fun. So again, this was Sophia Ashew interviewing about her favorite bookstore, The Lantern, as well as her other experiences with print literature and bookstores in general. I'm Emma Blesnick, and thank you for listening.